This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Dr. Tim Ball, former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg. He's also one of the leading scientific voices who has raised skepticism about the science behind the climate change movement. We want to get his thoughts today, as some on the pro-global warming side say that the massive amounts of snow we've seen in the mid-Atlantic, including right here in Washington, are actually signs that the climate change movement is correct about the changing planet. And Dr. Ball, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, Greg.
Well, certainly those of us around here don't feel like things are getting a whole lot warmer. Record amount of snowfall going back as far as snow has been measured. And even before that, it was a colder winter than normal. But they say on the pro-global warming side that with the warming planet, the changing climate, we'll see more significant weather events. True or not true?
No, it's actually not true if warming was to occur. And, of course, it's the world's now cooling down a bit. You're seeing the effects of that. Incidentally, I understand that the snow on Washington is part of the Tea Party movement to bury Washington. But beyond that, no. What the listeners need to think about is that if we take the whole atmosphere of the globe, there are two caps of cold air sitting over the polar regions, one over the Arctic and one over the Antarctic, and then it's filled in between with warmer air. Where that warm and cold air meets is called the polar front, and it's along that front where these storm systems develop and track. And of course, in the summertime, we're talking about the northern hemisphere, when that pole shrinks, the polar front moves up to northern Canada at about 65 degrees north latitude, and you go up there and you'll see these storm systems tracking through in the summertime. But in the winter, that dome of cold air expands. Now, because of the milder winters of the last decade or more, actually the latter part of the 20th century, that polar front was only running through the Canadian border. It was further north than it had been previously. Now, with the cooling that's been going on since 2000, it's the polar front's pushing further south. And you're seeing these storms that track along the front of it, the blizzards, and they're further south. It was somewhat similar back in the 1960s. It was sort of in between the Canadian border and where it is now, with huge storms of snow in Buffalo and places like that. But now you've got it pushing down into storms in Texas and so on. And the interesting part about this is that a parallel for this is back to the 1770s. And, of course, the storm conditions and snow conditions that Washington and his army confronted are much more akin to what's going on now with snow in the Carolinas and so on. And, of course, the further south that polar front pushes, the greater the contrast in temperature across that front between the warm air and the cold air, and it's that temperature contrast that creates the storms. Nature doesn't like imbalance, and so it tries to correct the imbalance, and it does it by trying to stir up the air, and it's that stirring up of the air that triggers these huge storm systems that track across. In Canada, we refer to them as Colorado lows. They trigger out of Colorado and move to the northeast, and the most recent one you're getting is one of those. And then you also get them coming up the east coast when the cold air pushes down towards Florida, as it did recently, and that tracks them up the east coast, which was the first big storm you got. Ironic thing, of course, is the pivotal point for that is that eastern seaboard part of the U.S., and that's exactly what you're seeing now. So this is due to cooling, not due to warming, and it's you can go back in history and you can read David Ludlam's book on American weather, which talks about these extreme weather systems, massive blizzards, and the blue ox and on the Great Plains, some wonderful stories from American history.
And Dr. Ball, there may be some who look at this weather and say, "Well, this is a unusually harsh winter out here, but it's not typical. It's more anecdotal. And they say, look, if you go look over at Vancouver, they're having a hard time finding enough snow to have the Winter Olympics. So is this truly a sign that we're seeing a significant cooling, or is it just happened to be one of those winters where everything kind of ends up in the same place?
No, what happens with that polar front that I talked about just now is there are very large waves in it. And these waves mean that you're going to get very cold air pushing south in some regions, as you've had mostly in the eastern part of the U.S. this winter, and the storms tracking along that. But on the other side, you're going to get warmer air pushing north. So the amplitude of the waves on a north-south basis has increased because it's the cold air advancing. And there's got to be a balance. So when the cold air pushes south, it's going to allow warm air to push north. And that's what's happening on the west coast here, that you've got milder air. Now, it's actually not above average, but it's certainly closer to long-term average. But you see this around the world. You'll see that parts of the world, for example, Britain and Western Europe, bitterly cold, and then other regions that are warmer temperatures, and then you get over to Siberia, and they've had record colds. And it's because of these waves. They were discovered by an American by the name of Carl Rossby back in 1943, because, of course, the waves and that polar front are related to the jet stream. And he was studying the jet stream, which was discovered by the B-50 bombers trying to bomb Tokyo during the war. That's when they first experienced them. And you can see the pattern of the jet stream on the weather maps, pushing well north in some areas and well south in others in the northern hemisphere. So, no, what's going on is perfectly logical and perfectly explainable. And but the net effect is that the world is cooler.
And Dr. Ball, in our last 60 seconds here, you and I have talked about this before, that one of the reasons that popular opinion is now moving against the global warming movement is because of events like this, where even the articulate scientific explanation of some just doesn't wash with common sense. What does a winter like this do to the debate overall, do you think?
Well, it started last winter. You had a cold winter last winter, and that started people raising questions. Now this second winter, and now they're coming with the lame excuses. Of course, there's a cover-up at the same time going on of the leaked information of how they'd cooked the data and manipulated the data and so on. And so the combination and the colder weather, when they come out and say that's due to warmer, that's so illogical that even people that don't understand the science are going to raise their heads and say, hang on a minute. And as these colder winters continue, the Arctic sea ice recovering, it will just keep knocking holes in their claim that global warming is going to keep on going. And so between that and the leaking of the information, the people are starting to get it. You see it in the most recent Pew Center poll, where global warming was 21st on a list of 21 items of American concerns. And this is happening worldwide. The problem is the politicians haven't got it yet, because, of course, they see the glory of wonderful carbon taxes floating off with the snow melt.
Dr. Ball, fascinating developments all over the place on this issue. Thank you again for your time. I'm sure we'll be talking again soon.
You're very welcome, Greg.
Dr. Tim Ball, former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.